turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship, and happy Father's Day. We'll go through a few announcements for today. Today, of course, is Father's Day, and I don't have any goodies in the kitchen for you, but I do have coffee, and if you'd like to stay after and have some coffee, that'd be great. The Papa Roots guys will have to head out, including me, because we have to be in Florian by noon, because we sing at what is called, I think it's Polish Days. Never been there before, so I'm not sure about 100% sweet being at a Polish Day, but... That's this afternoon. If you'd like to attend, that is from 1 o'clock, and I think it runs until 4. Not sure, but I know they have a lot of stuff going on. We're there. The Overtones are there, and also I believe there's some Polish dancers that are there as well, so from the area. So if you'd like to attend that, there's also a sign-up sheet in the foyer, as you've noticed, for volunteers for children's sermons, summer mowing, or for cleanup jobs, and we have a lot of it going on already. I'd like to thank Faye for cleaning all the chairs in the fellowship hall yesterday. Shampooed them all. That's a big job. So thank you very much for that. And for all those who have helped with mowing and changing light bulbs and cleaning fixtures and just been a lot going on, and we're very, very grateful. There is the all-school reunion weekend coming up. As you know, it begins on Thursday. But our Sunday worship service will be a community service, and that'll be held at the gazebo next Sunday, and that is at 10:30. We will be hosting a breakfast also that morning on Sunday, and that is going to run from 8 until 10. Our church service is at 10:30, and if it rains, we'll be at the Lutheran Church, and following the service, hopefully the sun will be shining, we'll be at the gazebo, then we're having a potluck, and that'll be over at Sion Lutheran as well. So please join us for that. The Kitson County Fair Service is coming up, and that is also a service where we have, last year I think we had 9 churches join us. This year we have another one that's, I think, going to join us. And that is just a wonderful time. We have our speakers now lined up. I believe Calvin, I'm not sure, I think Monica too, will be here to share. And also we'll be having someone from the Feed Our Starving Children that is involved with that as well. Will be a couple of our speakers. And that is at 10 o'clock on July 12th, just as a reminder. Also, there is a bridal shower honoring Brooke Bynum. And did I say that right? Bride-to-be of Zach Joshick. And that'll be on Monday, July 20th at 7. And that is here at the church. And everyone is welcome. Also, VBS will be at Galilee in Lake Brunson again this year. We'll be doing that with Sion Lutheran, and that is from July 26th through the 28th. Also, Julie and I will be gone one more time. We're leaving Sunday night. I know we're gone a lot. We're leaving Sunday night, going to Mesa, and then driving to San Diego to see Justin, so we'll just appreciate your prayers. We'll be back on July 9th, and back in plenty of time for the fair service. So, Jenny. Okay, Jenny's still in need of some help for breakfast on Sunday morning, next Sunday, so please contact Jenny. I'll be here, so I'll help, for sure. But if there's anybody else, spread the word too. What are we serving? That sounds good. Pancake, sausage, and fruit. Sounds like three wonderful food groups. Anything else? Okay. Sue, would you come up and do scripture and some prayer for us?
Our scripture reading today is from Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. Do we have prayer requests? Tom?
Just continued prayer for my wife. I have to have rotator cuff surgery. And then for Scott's girlfriend.
Yep.
Of course, we can't forget our troops all over the world. We need so much our prayer.
Julie. John?
Yes, I have several lesions on my back that need to be removed, and they are cancerous, so I would appreciate your prayer.
Okay. Dan? I'm glad it's her driving in that open country during the winter, not me. Yes.
Four-year-old boy named Brighton, he's got muscular dystrophy.
He's got what?
Muscular dystrophy.
Oh.
Muscular dystrophy.
And what was his name?
Brighton.
Brighton?
Yeah.
And he's only four?
Yeah.
Oh. Jeez. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you once again with our requests, and we're so thankful that we live in a country where we can openly worship you, where we can bring our requests before you. We know that you control everything that happens to all of us, and we know there's a reason behind and everything that happens, and you are the only one that knows what that is, and we should never question it, although sometimes it's hard. We pray for Glenda, and we hope that her shoulder's going to come around with therapy or whatever she's trying now so that she doesn't have to have surgery, and just give her the patience to not overdo with the shoulder and to hopefully give it time to mend. We pray for Scott with his ongoing problems, and we just pray that he has loved ones to surround him and help him through his bad days, and we just hope that medications and various things can help him to lead a happy and productive life. We pray for our troops all over the world, and we just pray with everything that we've got to keep these men and women safe. We pray for their families left behind. It's just really difficult to be a one-parent family when the other half has gone away, and stressful for both sides when the military person is away worrying about their family and the spouse that's at home is worrying about their loved one that's gone. So we just pray to keep all of these men and women safe. Give us world peace. Have all of this ISIS and all these other things that are bringing chaos to this world to just stop so that we could live in harmony. We pray for little Kelly with kidney problems, and we just pray that these kidneys start to function properly, that this is just a temporary thing, and that she is going to be, her next testing will find out that they are working normally and that she is just fine. And we certainly want to keep her in prayer so that she doesn't end up having to have a kidney transplant or something like this. So we just pray that the doctors know the best way to treat this so that these kidneys can start functioning fully. We pray for John, who's going to be having these lesions removed, and we just pray that all goes well through the procedure and that these cancerous lesions haven't gone any farther than that. And we just pray that you keep him comfortable and give the doctors the wisdom to remove everything safely and completely. We give you praise, Lord, that Renee has gotten a job. It's very stressful when you want to have a job and you just you lose your job and then you're trying to find another one. So we're so thankful that she has found one and that she'll be able to do what she loves so much. And we pray for little Brighton, who's only 4 years old, that has muscular dystrophy, and we pray that everything that can be done for this child is being done. We pray for his family who has to care for him, and we pray that perhaps a medication, perhaps something new in medicine will come along to help people that have this disease so that he can live a normal and productive life. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given us. We are truly richer than anything on earth, and we thank you for all of it. We love you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. We could have the ushers come forward for the offering this morning. And do we have special music? No? So then we need the praise team to come up as well. Do some singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this day, God. What a blessing it is, God, to see the sun shining and just to feel the warmth of the day. We pray, God, that you would just bless this day, Lord, that you would be honored in our worship today and that we would hear your word. We pray for your blessing on this offering. God, just guide us as your church, and we just thank you for how you provide. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please sing along with us.
I am empty, but I know your love.
Yes, and we'll continue to sing Only by Grace. Thank you.
Lies in the world is a thought that we can make ourselves better, that we can save ourselves, that our good actions that can make us right with you. And it can't. Nothing that we can do can make us right with you except trusting that your Son can make us right. It is through grace that our sins are forgiven. It's faith in you. Help us to spread that message. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We are so blessed. I am so blessed to be worshiping with all of you. I just continue to hear stories after stories of congregations and struggles that pastors face, and I have to pinch myself because sometimes I just feel like God is just doing so much in our lives. And I got to thinking about all of the fathers in that I have been blessed with being to getting to share life with and watching all of you love your kids, and it is just such a huge blessing. And sometimes when I think back, I was praying at church this morning. Virginia met with me early, and we were praying, and I got to thinking about God and Adam and Eve. You know, God and the struggle that Adam and Eve had right off the bat. And then I got to thinking of Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. I think of a son killing another son. And I thought of the struggle that Adam and Eve must have felt, that God felt. And then I thought of Abraham. One of the my favorite songs that Papa Ridge does is the story of Abraham and Isaac. And as I listen to Eric sing about it, and I think, could I ever do what Abraham did? Take my son up the mountain, knowing fully well that he would be the sacrifice, unless God provided, and he did, of course, as we know. And the list just goes on, and I see the attack on family in our culture today. And I think of the downplay of the importance of having a mother and a father. And it just grieves me because I see the beauty when a family is working together, and I see that in all of you. But sometimes, you know, being a dad is hard work. It really is. It just is hard work. And it's not always easy. And I thought of this morning, and I thought of the kids that were here, and I thought, I have to take another clip from Despicable Me Too. Just to have one more time. I know Josh likes that, don't you, Josh? I saw him go like this. Good job. I love Despicable Me Too, and I'm waiting for the Minion movie to come out. So, and you thought you wanted me for a pastor. So I'd just like to show you the first clip of what it's like. As you know from this clip, before you started, Lisa, these three little girls were adopted by Gru, this pointy-nosed old man, and didn't have a mother in the picture. And yet Gru became so attached to these young girls. He was getting them, he thought, for gain. And what he realized that the gain was so totally different than what he had anticipated, because these little girls changed his life. So let's just play this one. Sometimes being a dad is hard. You have to turn them
around. All right, homework done, pajamas on, teeth brushed, time for bed.
What's the big hurry?
I have a lot of work to do.
Work? What kind of work?
Very important business. So hugs, kisses, good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs, blah, 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 blah.
But you said you'd help me practice my part for the Mother's Day show.
Fine. Let me hear it, quickly.
She kisses my boobos. She braids my hair. My mother is beyond compare. We love you, mothers, everywhere.
Wow, that was something else. I really like the way you smiled at the end. Let's try this one more time, but a teensy bit less like a zombie, okay?
Okay. She kisses my boo-boos. She braids my hair.
Perfect, time to go.
I don't think I should do this.
Well, what do you mean? Why not?
I don't even have a mom.
Well, you don't need one to do the show. I mean, you did the Veterans Day pageant, and you haven't been in combat.
This is different.
Okay, well, then maybe you can just use your imagination.
You mean I pretend I have a mom?
Yes, right? You can do that, can't you?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Thanks, Gru.
Cute clip, but it sure speaks very loudly, doesn't it? Kids are amazing, and they change our lives. I have just a little story that I was going to read you. I'd heard this before about Pastor Ray Ortman, and he was a pastor for 20 years out in Lakeview Congregational Church in Pasadena, California. And And I say he was there because he died about 8 years ago. And Pastor Ortman was a pastor that John Piper, that's where he went to church when he was in seminary. But Ray Sr. had such an impact on his son, Ray Jr., who also became a pastor. And I'd just like to share a little bit of what his message he had written and shared with pastors all over the United States. He said, "I just want to let you guys know that my dad was the same in private as he was in public. There was nothing phony about him. He was the real deal. He was authentic. The distance between what I saw in the New Testament of what it means to be a godly father was what my dad was. And no, he wasn't perfect, but he was the most Christ-like man that I knew. And there are 10 lessons that he taught me, and he taught me very well. And though my dad's not here anymore, these lessons live on in my heart, in my mind, and they have formed me into the man that I want to be. Number one on my dad's list is he made a vow to never be too busy. There were times when he would see that the church duties were getting in the way in his ministry, and he would all of a sudden just show up at school. And he would pick up his son, Ray Jr., and he'd say, "Let's go out to the ocean." And he said, "We'd spend the day surfing, and we would be doing all kinds of fun things." He said, "I never knew when my dad would show up, but it was always when he felt that ministry was getting in the way of his ministry to his son." And he said, "My dad would always write me an excuse slip, and I'd take it to the principal often the next day, and the principal would always write unexcused absence." And he said, "I'd show it to my dad, and he'd smile, and he'd say, 'He has no idea.'" And this went on throughout my life of school years. Secondly, he was a Bible man. There was not a day that went by that I didn't see a Bible in my dad's hand. And he totally believed what it said. There was no doubt in my mind that he believed it was the truth and it was the word given to us by a holy creator, God the Father. The third thing that I knew about him is that he totally praised God, because I could hear him every morning singing praise songs in the shower at the top of his lungs. And he didn't sing all that well, so oftentimes it woke me up. But there was no mistaking that he had joy in his heart, and it was exploding in the morning in the shower. That's the kind of dad I want to be. The fourth thing was, is he cheered me on. I felt like I was my dad's number one fan. And he would urge me to follow Christ fully, and he would say to me, "Son, half-hearted Christians are the most unhappy people in the world, because they know just enough about God to feel guilty, but they're not surrendered enough to God to be happy." And he would always say, "Son, go all out for Jesus. And I don't care if you're a ditch digger. If you love Jesus with all your heart, that's the best that I could ask for from you." Number five is he had a real walk with God. I remember going downstairs one morning and walking into the living room. I found my dad kneeling on the floor where he knelt every morning, on his knees, totally absorbed in prayer. It wasn't for show. It wasn't real, because there was no one else up at 4 a.m. He loved church, and he loved the gospel. He loved his neighbors. He set a tone for our home, which was a home of joy and comfort and honest living. Number six, he taught me theology in the backyard, for even as a young boy, he would always teach me and talk to me about the grace that God was offering me and God's amazing love, which he so much wanted me to understand fully, what that truly meant, what it meant to really understand God's love. And number seven, he loved us even when it wasn't easy. My mom told me once that when Dad would come home, he would always stop before he opened the back door to the house. And he would say this prayer. He'd say, "God, I am so tired, but I need extra strength to play with my boy tonight." And when he'd walk in, the door would shut, he'd walk right over to my mom, give her a kiss. Next thing I knew, I was on the floor wrestling and being tickled and laughing till I could cry. Number eight, he helped me love the church. Dad had high standards for Christian living. He was not about to compromise on the truth of God's word. That was what led him. That is what made him who he was. And he had the knowledge to know that a 10-year-old boy was not about to live a life that was of a 40-year-old pastor. He knew that I would make mistakes, and yet he walked with me, never judging me but loving me through it. And he was always there. And number nine, he lived his faith simply and practically. As I said, he was genuine, and he was overflowing with compassion. And number 10, the last thing that he said, and it's something that even when Ray Jr.'s father died, Ray was overseas in another country. And he said, my dad called everyone and he said, I'm dying today. And sure enough, he did. But in those final hours, he had written a note to every one of us in the family. And I wasn't there, Ray Jr. said. He said, but my sister gave me a note. And the note said, son, remember, ministry isn't everything. Jesus is. That was his final words to me. Today, as you know, is Father's Day. And the scripture I chose for today are just four short verses on children and parents, but these verses are not limited to just that. And I'd like to just say something very profound. If you were here today, you had a father. I said that on Mother's Day, that if you're here, you had a mother. I don't know anyone that got into this world without both. God's amazing creation. The way God made the way for new life is amazing. So I'd just like to look at the scripture passage in Ephesians 6. This pertains to mother and father. This isn't just for dads. This isn't just for those who have children. But verse 1 does say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. One of the Ten Commandments out of Exodus 20. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, I know very well that not everyone has a wonderful experience like Ray Jr. did with his dad, with their earthly father or their mothers. There are many today that grew up without parental support at all. But even if that is your experience today, I ask that you just please listen closely and listen to how God just provides in his word the perfect example of how to live a godly life. And maybe you're not a father or a mother. As I said, this still pertains to you. You are God's children, and God is your father if you've trusted him as your Savior. So regardless of what you've experienced in the past or even to this day, the very best thing any one of us can do, according to Scripture, is to imitate God our Father. And after all, aren't we not created in his image? That's what the Bible says. And I'll even go further and say the best glimpse of what the Heavenly Father is like is revealed to us by looking at his Son Jesus Christ, who said to his disciples, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then he goes on to say in John 14:9, he says, if you've seen the Father, or if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Christ is our path to a relationship with God the Father. He's also the way that we come to know God's true character. Now, we heard a lot about the father in our story, Ray Sr., who was an example, yet lived a life that failed many times, who struggled just with sin, just like we struggle with. But God sets an example for us, and he set that example in his son, Jesus Christ. So if we are all made in God's, the Father's image, and we are, then what should our character be like? And I'd just like to read to you the next passage of Scripture instead of have it up on the screen. Because I want you to listen closely. And I'm turning back to chapter 4 of Ephesians. Starting in verse 17, and I'm going to read through 5:17. And this talks about living as children of light. This is from the NLT. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Excuse me. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned from Christ. That's not what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, Paul says, throw off your old sin nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and truly holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. You notice he doesn't say don't get angry. He said don't let that anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live. The NIV says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. It's kind of like a sign sealed, waiting to be delivered. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality or impurity or greed among you, for such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is simply an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things that these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So then live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. And carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. And that is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. That's almost like a letter from God as a father to his children, isn't it? Because that's what it is. That's God telling us to be careful, to live holy lives, live pleasing lives. And this is just a small portion. There's so much more that is in that, in those passages and in the book of Colossians and Philippians. And I believe God is speaking to all of us this morning. I don't believe it's just to the fathers, but I also believe that God is speaking specifically to us as men in the church. And I would just like to play a clip from Courageous. For those of you that have seen it, you'll notice the extra scenes and the significance behind it. For those of you that haven't, just watch closely and look at that question up on the top. Will you? Go ahead, Lisa.
I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there, providing for them, he's to walk with them through their young lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. The father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. And should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and his blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will. I will. I will.
It doesn't matter whether you're a father or a mother, or whether you have no children at all, when we make a commitment, when we do dedications, baptisms here, we take it seriously. We take it seriously to be involved in those kids' lives. So my encouragement to you today would be to be involved, because it's a privilege. Be a representative of Christ. Love your families and seek to win the hearts of the children. Model integrity and teach your kids to be responsible, and not only just responsible kids, but responsible leaders, because our world needs good leaders. Our world needs godly leaders. And as he said in that clip, men, we can't afford to be asleep at the wheel. It's not enough just to know what's right and wrong. It's important that we speak it, because we can't afford to be silent. And my final question then to all of us is, will you? Or in other words, are you willing to stand up and stand firm in true love that God has called us to? And that love requires discipline. It requires correction, and it requires training in righteousness. Those are God's words in his holy book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Father, I do believe that one of our greatest desires, God, should be in our hearts. Yes, to love you most of all, that you would be at first, our first love, our first place in our hearts and our minds, that without you we are nothing. We recognize that. But we also recognize this morning the calling that you have given us. And sometimes it's scary when we see the world that our kids are heading out into, and our grandkids. But Father, you are calling us out this morning. You're calling us to stand up, to love our neighbor. That love doesn't include compromise on truth, but it requires love, compassion, patience, and be willing to say the hard things, and always be willing to speak the truth in love, as you say. We just praise you, Lord. We thank you. And again, we would like to say today, Happy Father's Day, God. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to just close our service today, if you would stand and sing with us, hymn number 228, Glory to His Name. Hymn 228. Father, we just thank you for today, and we pray, God, that we would be faithful, Lord, to pass on the legacy, God, that you have given us. For those that have left it for us, Lord, help us to pass that on to our children, to know what it truly means to love you and to live lives as children of light, lives that are pleasing and holy, committed to you fully. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.